Okay, guys, we're live at Sunday School at Crane Christian Church, and we're going to open with prayer this morning. We've already talked a little bit, family time, about some things that are going on, some sick folks. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your grace. And you said, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Lord. And I pray for those folks down at Fordyce this morning, Lord, as they come to you this morning and are crying out to God all over social media, Lord. It says, pray for Fordyce, Lord. And you know that situation. I'm not going to spend any time talking about it, Lord, but Lord, I pray that you would touch those people, those families through that loss, those people who are in the hospital now, Lord, those people who witnessed that. Lord, be with them this morning, God. We pray as a congregation. And Lord, for our good friend, Lord, who's in the St. Louis Hospital, I pray, Lord, for him this morning, Lord. He's going through his treatments. Lord, help him, God, this morning. Give him strength, give him confidence, and give him faith. And Lord, give him relief, Lord, from this pain, God. Heal him this morning. And then, Lord, lastly, but speak to us today, God. We call on you, because without your spirit, Lord, our intellect's not going to get it done, Lord. Even our determination's not going to get it done, Lord. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, do that today through us, with us, and with us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. We're in Psalm 145. I have actually was looking at it again this week. You say, oh, no. I thought you were about through. Yeah, whatever. So we're starting at the beginning, but we're going to start hitting it hard about 14. But I am actually going to read the entire psalm in the Amplified this morning. I want to hear it turned up, as we say. Amplified. A psalm of praise of David. I will exalt you, my God, O King, and with gratitude and submissive wonder, I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and lovingly praise you. Yes, with awe-inspired reverence, I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is so vast and profound as to be unsearchable, incomprehensible. And of course, it refers to Job and Romans. One generation shall praise your works to another and declare your mighty and remarkable acts. Oh, the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wonderful works I will meditate. People will speak of the power of your awesome acts, and with gratitude and submissive wonder, I will tell of your greatness. They will overflow like a fountain when they speak of your great and abundant goodness, and I will sing joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. The entirety of things he created, all your works shall give thanks to you and praise you, O Lord. And your godly ones will bless you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glorious majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures through all generations. He's bigger than we are. You got that? Over and over, the Bible says that, okay? And God knows what he's doing. I was in a prayer meeting this week with some guys, and that came out like three times. God knows what he's doing. In spite of us saying, what? God knows what he's doing. The Lord uplifts all of those who fall and raises up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to and fro to you in hopeful expectation. You give them food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is unwaveringly righteous in all his ways and gracious and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him and to all who call on him in truth without guile. He will fulfill and desire those who fear and worship him with awe-inspired reverence and obedience. He also will hear the cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and the flesh will bless, and all flesh will bless and gratefully praise his holy name forever and ever. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Is the word of God true?
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about, we're going now to the New King James Version. I'm not going to read it all the way through, but we're going to hit some high points, and then we're going to stop at 14. So, first, I will extol you. Guys, that speaks, we talked about this last week, it speaks of warfare. You have to make a choice to worship God. You have to make a choice. You can't go by the circumstances, because right now I'm a little irritated. I know that's surprising. Three things in my house ain't working right. Okay. And I've got on good authority, two people here this morning said, it comes in threes. And I said, well, praise the Lord. Maybe we can quit here. And, you know, huh?
Are you one of those things?
Oh, okay. So, a lot of things. Anyway, I guess when you just keep stuff a long time, sometimes it breaks. It seems to be an inopportune moment. How's that? Okay, but I will praise the Lord. So I woke up this morning, there was a prayer on my heart. I was studying before I went to sleep. But this is the prayer that was on my heart this morning, guys. I want you to hear this. Lord, help me seek the pearl of great price versus what the pearl is going to do for me. Because, you know, if we're not careful, it becomes all about us. Okay, now I know you're not like that. I'm just strictly talking about myself, okay? But here's the deal, guys. Let's seek him, and then being in his presence, that's where his presence show up with the E-N-T-S, presence. That's when they show up, when we're in his presence. In other words, in his, where he is, okay? So, number one, we will praise the Lord. So right now, for like 10 seconds, everybody just say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. We appreciate you, Lord. Just thank you. Choose to do it. You say, nothing's going right. Well, I get it. I'm a little irritated this morning too, okay? I'm irritated at some things that happened in South Arkansas. But again, we prayed about that earlier. But here's the deal. I praise you, Lord, for who you are and what you are doing. So choose to praise him first. Worship him first. Okay, then the second thing. One generation shall praise your works to another. We cannot stop mentoring the next generation. Okay? All I hear is, well, you know, them people are horrible at this. That generation's this. That generation's this. Guys, I want to tell you something. Old people have been pointing to the younger generation since there's been a younger generation. They just don't do it like they used to. This thing, no, you're right. These young folks was raised with electronics that my grandfather would have thought he was on another planet if he'd have seen. I'm serious, okay? And my dad, dirt floors, a shiny path out to the outhouse, you know. I'm just telling you, think about it. It's just a little bit different, and it's not going to be the same. But I want to tell you, what can be the same is the salt and the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't change the message, but the method may be different, okay? I'm hitting about 500 to 600 views a week between these two services is what the data is showing. And how would my dad even ever thought about that? I mean, he'd say, "Woo! I'm pastoring a big church." You know, I do it because people listen to it on the way to work. People, it gets run over to theoldlawdog.com website, and you can do it on a what's the things you listen to?
iPad.
No, you listen to,
Audible.
Huh? Audibles or chewables? No, whatever. No, sorry.
Podcast,
thanks. It just goes straight to the podcast. And what they do is they put that on a podcast, and it's just exactly the same thing. You just don't have to look at my beautiful face. Anyway, so We never dreamed about stuff like this. So it is going to be different, right? The church is different. People are different. We're all different. But here's the deal. I have chosen to say we're going to mentor the next generation. We are going to mentor them and make sure that they get the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you with me on that? So Psalm says, one generation shall praise your works to another. And I want to tell you something. The reason I can tell you about God is because I have been walking with God. I know God. And I don't, you say, well, you know, you don't know the whole Bible. You're right. It's a big book. Okay. But I can tell you where I get fed and who redeemed me. Okay. And then it goes to the next point we hit last week was all your works shall praise you. Okay. I want to tell you, God knows what he's doing. Are you with me? You say, well, I don't like the way things are going. Well, nobody ever has. Can you imagine being the king in Israel and the heathen enemy sent you a thing and says, you better surrender now or we're going to kill all of you. That was not a good day for him. He literally took it into the altar and laid it out before the Lord and said, Lord, you see what he's saying. You see what he's saying. He the whole nation began to cry out to God. They're going to take us. But what happened is he sent the worshipers out first and they began to destroy themselves, the enemy. And so are we going to believe that God knows what he's doing and he's going to take care of his people? But gas is up. Well, yeah. Merry Christmas. All right. Stay home. Fast and pray. Food's up. We'll fast. Okay. Anyway. So, let's go to verse 14. So then we're starting this week's. That was all a review. Okay. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up those who are bowed down. We have a nation of people who but immediately, when somebody falls, instead of reaching out a hand and saying, that's bad, but we need to get you up. What they do is everybody backs up and begins to point. Is that right?
Yep.
And I want to tell you something. You know why I don't do that? Because people that live in glass houses tend not to throw rocks.
That's right.
Okay? Because something might get slung back at you. Okay, I've been in snowball fights before where I really never had to make a snowball because they packed them so tight, they threw them and I just picked it up and threw it back. And when you throw rocks in the spirit, I truly believe that's what happens. And not just people, I think you're opening yourself up anyway. Because it's been very interesting through the years as one major ministry starts talking about another major ministry and then all of a sudden the major ministry that started talking about the major ministry becomes somebody else points out what that measurement, you know, you see what I'm saying? Are we going to keep doing this or are we going to learn some? Okay. I have done a little home improvement through the years and I don't like gloves. I don't like gloves. I like to get my hands on what I'm doing. But guess what? That's the third time I hurt myself. I learned I might actually wear gloves when I'm doing some of that stuff. Does that make sense?
Yep.
I stuck my hand up there cleaning out something and got on a nail and I thought, that's not a good idea. I'm gonna start wearing gloves. So can we quit pointing pictures or pointing fingers? Can we quit, you know, show this guy did this, how stupid is this, how stupid is it? Instead of that, be people who say, you know what? I'm going to seek God first. I'm going to love him with everything, my heart, mind, and body, my soul. I'm going to give it to the Lord. And I'm going to love my brother as myself. Because I'm going to tell you something. So far, I've never woke up in the morning and went in the mirror and said, what part of my body am I going to hit with a hammer this morning? That's never entered my mind. Okay? So sometimes we do that with our tongue to other people. So here's the deal. 14. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. And 16, when I was reading this in the Amplified, when I was reading it again, getting ready for this morning, this scripture has always, not this part of it, the one I'm fixing to quote now, that he gives us the desires of our heart. And as you get a little older, get a little shipping and handling on stuff, as you begin to look at things from a little different way, I want you to look at it this way for a minute. I'm going to put this in a non-precarious place. I think people were having trouble listening last week because they knew any minute I was going to knock that coffee somewhere. So here's the deal. Earlier in my walk, I thought that meant I want this and I'm going to pray and be good and I'm going to get this. And that's because that's the desire of my heart. About 19 out of 20 of those was a desire of my flesh. Does that make sense? Because your heart in this context is the real you, not the flesh you. Okay? Because I'm going to tell you something. I can see something on TV or not that I go to the mall, maybe a particular motorcycle dealership, maybe that's a better way to put it, okay? And I see that and I think, well, I could praise the Lord with that. As my friends in the lowrider community, praise the Lord. Anyway, lower that thing. Anyway, but the point being is this, guys. God knows what he's doing. And although something may be a desire of our flesh, it may be a lust of the eye, but here's the deal. What's the desire of your heart? And I want you to imagine and think about this. Think about every one of you having a space in you, whatever it is. And it's an odd-shaped space. And we keep putting things in that space to try to fill that space, but there's always gaps around it. But I want you to back up in the Spirit this morning and with your Holy Spirit-inspired imagination, I want you to back up and look at that space. And I want to tell you what that space is shaped like. It's shaped like the cross of Jesus Christ. Not just any cross, the cross. And as we try to cram drugs, alcohol, immorality, pornography, lust, stuff. I got three garages. No, I don't. I'm saying I'm making this up. Okay. I got three garages full of stuff. I got five garages full of stuff. I got six. I've got the longest Cadillac, the shortest Cadillac, the biggest, highest handlebars, the loudest pipes, the prettiest garden. All that stuff, right? Okay. I can shoot a basketball further than anybody else. Whatever. Okay, but you can cram that in that hole, but it will not fill that cross-shaped place in you. I'm just telling you. It's a placebo. It's a numbing agent. And some of them will kill you faster than others. Some of those numbing agents kill us faster than others. Some of it kills us spiritually. I've known people in my life, which this is many years ago, so please don't try to figure this out. This is not somebody recent, okay? That they were convinced that if they had the right person in their life, a mate, let's just call it a mate, in their life, and they tried over and over and over and over and over and over and over because they were convinced that was the problem. But guess what? As they grew older, much older, they realized, wait a minute. There's this cross-shaped space in me that can only be filled by the cross of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? And if you live long enough, You'll see that, okay? Because you can cram some stuff in there that'll kill you quick, okay? I want you to think about it, and I'm not going to use any names, okay? Pick out a genre, whether it's acting, music, country, rock and roll, pick out whatever you want, okay? And think about the people who have died so young by drugs, alcohol, by some of them suicide, and they might have been so successful money-wise. I mean, you know, I got some appliances around the house that's going to have to be replaced and something at my friend's house. But we're not talking about appliance-type money. We're talking about millions of dollars. We're talking about estates. We're talking about this. And they continually tried to cram more in that to fill that, but did it fill it? No. Did accolades fill it? That's the best song I've ever heard. That's the best this I've ever heard. You're quite an actor. They continued because it is designed for that. And look what it says right here. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and they don't even know it. And here's the deal. We need to live a life that says, you know what, dude? I love that. I love those motorcycles. I love this. I love that. But it don't matter what you do to that. It's not going to fill that hole in your heart. It's not going to. There used to be a song, Daddy has a hole in his heart, but he's sticking something in his arm. Okay. And so I'm just telling you guys, we've got a generation it's part of the human nature. Okay. And it's part of the spiritual side. And He will satisfy the desire of every living thing. He is the answer. He does not hold the answer. Christ is the answer. Okay? The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. Now, I want to tell you, something changed me. 40 years ago, 30 years ago, I began to, I'm trying to figure out where I was at so I can tell you what year. This would have been the 80s, in the 80s. In the 80s, I want you to think about where I come from as far as spirituality. I come from legalism / Pentecostalism, okay? And that, I'm not putting down anybody for anything, so don't think this, okay? I come from that far right-hand side, okay? Then moved into, I would call it the charismania, okay? Okay, charisma, okay? And then you've got and I've moved way toward the middle, but in that journey, guys, in that journey, what's happened is God has put men and women in my path that were calling on the name of the Lord, calling on Him. And guess what God did when they called on Him? You're gonna be shocked. They might not have voted the way you voted. They might not think the way you think about whatever. They might not, and David, was it you that says you quit reading any books if the guy's still alive? Was that you? They got to be dead for you to read their book because, that way they won't change their mind. I can't remember if that was you or not, but somebody that I hang with, and it's like, I'm not there yet, okay? I still read it because I argue with them either way. But anyway, here's the point, guys. Literally, what's happened in my life is I have, and part of it is what God called me to do when I'm not in this building is 45 years with a badge and going to people's house and seeing what they come from and seeing how hurt they are and see how they were abused and go on and on and on and on as you look at this, guys. It's just not as easy to qualify everything with this, that, well, you know, if you did, you know. I used to have like two scriptures I applied to everything, and it worked. As long as you didn't use real people or real circumstances or, you know, it worked theologically, but it just didn't work in real life. Okay. So the Lord is righteous in all his ways, and he's gracious in all his works. He is near to all who call upon him. What did he say on the last and final day of the feast? If anybody's thirsty, come to me. Those who are weary, beat up. That's one translation of another scripture. Those who are tired, okay, come unto him. His yoke is easy. Remember what his yoke was. His yoke was his teaching. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Your life may not be easy, but his reality of his grace and mercy is so simple that a child need not err from the truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. And guys, the Lord led me down some scriptures this week. In my private, it was not studying for this at all. But here's the deal. In the state of Missouri, there is a law. And it says shall. Shall means you shall, or you'll be in violation of that law. It's not a very complicated law, okay? If you get in a boat, you're supposed to have a life jacket. Okay, you have to have the same. If you got four people in your boat, you got to have four. And if they're under a certain age, they got to have it strapped to them. Okay, does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
It's not a complicated law. Okay, it's not. And a lot of times, you could get in the boat, especially anything I own. You know that people laugh when they see my boat. Anyway, it's very small and very cheap. Anyway, so no motor. You know, why would I have a motor when all you're gonna do is push it out of the back of the truck and just work your way along the bank? You know, why? You got one arm, you know, why don't we spend all that money on a motor? Anyway, so with that boat, I could probably violate that law most of the time and probably not get killed. Okay, you see what I'm saying? But on that lake, on Table Rock Lake, right up here, there's boats out there that'll go over 100 miles an hour on the water, which is not a good idea, okay, as far as I'm concerned. Do you think if you row like that, you might think that you might have a better chance of suffering if you did not follow that law? Does that make sense? Okay. So, but the bottom line is the law on that, and very few people that have that thing on and the boat turns over, drown. Very few people. But a lot of people who don't have that strapped on and turn over in that big lake and they don't have anything to hold on to, what happens? They drown. So the point is there are laws, there are spiritual laws, there are physical laws, there's gravity, which is irritating to me, all that, right? But if we have to look at those and realize, and God's spiritual laws are like that. If you take care of your body, I had a long conversation with a guy this week, okay? He is doing some writing right now, and he needed to bounce something off of me. And your spirit lives in a body, right? I think we got everybody here got their body with them that I know of. Okay, everything I can see. Anyway. Okay, but the point is this, guys. You need to take care of that body, because God has a plan for you, and me eating 47 packs of M&Ms is not a good idea. Okay, or what? You know, and we have some very good cooks in the audience. I'm going to be very careful what I say. But anyway, Everything in moderation. Does that make sense? Okay. And nothing to excess. But in exercise, I mean, literally, me and him were talking about it. It's like, well, how in the world did our grandpas eat a steady diet of pork chops and government cheese and live so long? Well, one reason is because both of my granddaddies worked hard from daylight till about 3:30 in the afternoon, then would come in and eat supper, and a lot of times went back out for another couple hours. You see what I'm saying? And they don't sit at a computer and say, approve this report, approve not, you know. Anyway, so think about that, guys. And what we're talking about is this, the idea that the wicked he will destroy, but if we disobey his laws, there is always something to pay for it in this life, and there can be something in the life to come. Okay? My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. The Lord preserves all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy, and flesh shall bless his name forever and ever. And I'm going to open up 146 really quick, because that's where we're going to go next week. Okay? As I was studying this, I got on down here and looked at it. We're just going to look at the first three verses and we'll quit, I promise. Maybe. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. Now stop right there. Let's make a decision. We did it at the beginning of 145. We will praise the Lord. Is everything going the way everybody wants it to go? Are you sure? You mean it's not just exactly like you want? Well, I can tell you, me being almost 37, you know, 36 or so now-ish, ballpark, not really. It's never gone the way I want it to go, okay? And does anybody in here ever get irritated? Okay, because, you know, let the pearls come, you know, but not the tension, okay? While I live and praise the Lord, I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Now, verse 3 is, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I mean that. I love you. I love you guys that are watching. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But I do want you to hear this scripture. This was written a long time ago. This is way before this upcoming election. Okay? So watch this. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in son of man, in whom there is no help. Here's the deal. Do your research. Vote on who you need to vote on. Do the things you need to do. Live your life, you know. But again, you know, I'm a rabid American. You know, I'd vote if I had to buy a plane ticket to vote. I mean, that's essentially, but just make sure that you don't put your trust in all that. Instead, you put your trust in him. Does that make sense? Put up any signs you want, do whatever you want to do, vote for whoever you want to vote for, politic for whoever you want to politic, but realize that God's in control. Does that make sense? Yeah. God is, follow him. Okay. All right, guys, we're going to shut it down. It's about 9 minutes till. Well, by this watch, this one was made in 1958. This is a modern one, so I got about 10 till. So, Father, thank you so much for these folks. Watch over and keep them, Lord. Take these words and speak them to us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Have a great day. We'll catch you in about an hour with the next live stream. See you.